Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Things Podcast, where we wrap up the week that was. If you're new to the podcast, this is a great thing to listen to while you run your errands on Saturday or Sunday. You're missing your talk radio, but it's also great to listen to if you've had a busy week and you want to hit the highlights. I only do insane things we've never seen before, or we've never seen in our lifetimes, or we've never seen in America. So it's incredible that I can do this every week, but I do. Let's dive right in. Insane thing number 8. There's a reason your kids and grandkids are broke. There's a reason that the country will eventually go broke. The government will eventually go broke, likely destroying the dollar with it, because we just can't seem to get off this trajectory. We talk about it and talk about it, but nothing changes. But maybe that's because the fake makeup of Congress doesn't change. Anybody who even takes a cursory look at politics knows that when they redraw congressional districts, they have to create one or two or more for Black people, i.e. Democrats. That comes from the Voting Rights Act in 1965, and there actually was discrimination back then that was systematized. Today, there's still discrimination, but it's mostly against white males. If you're Christian, it's worse. In fact, it seems every facet of society is bent toward helping Black and brown people get ahead, regardless of qualification or score. In other words, our society doesn't even come close to resembling the society of 1965 when Democrats, in a power grab, created the Voting Rights Act, essentially awarding them decades of fake congressional seats. Well, gerrymandered to elect them because, for decades, over 90% of Black people registered as Democrats. Well, on Wednesday, the Supreme Court heard a case that could overturn, finally, the 1965 Voter Rights Act, getting rid of any racial consideration in congressional district drawing. In other words, taking us back to where we should have been the whole time, the constitutional standard. You count bodies when you draw congressional districts. You don't differentiate where some bodies are worth more than other bodies. That's Animal Farm, not the Constitution. And yet another way our courts have strayed far, far away from the Constitution. Well, this has been a court with a history of straying back, equal protection-wise, particularly as it regards race. This is a Supreme Court that essentially wiped out any racial preference in college admissions. If they do the same thing with voting districts and the drawing of them and removing the gerrymandering by race, well, here's the insane thing, because it shows you how non-representative Congress has become of the American people. I call it fake woke. In Supreme Court filings in the case, it shows a full, get this, 19 additional congressional seats would go to the GOP if we throw out the racial mandates of the Voting Rights Act, or rather those built around it. 19 seats. Folks, if we had 19 more seats right now, think about the swing we're talking here. That would be a swing of 19 seats from Democrats to Republicans. I think we could practically balance the budget. At a minimum, we'd have the votes to go through line by line and begin cutting and save this country, save the dollar, save our children from insolvency and poverty. As I explained in Wednesday's podcast, if we had the 6 seats stolen via fraud, I've been talking about them for a very long time, in the Census Bureau, remember they fired over 200 people for fraud. And we just recently this week also discovered that the chief scientist at the Census created a whole formula called Epsilon that he buried in the census tabulation. People have been filing FOIA lawsuits for years to actually find out the numbers. Bottom line, it's all very fake. It awards 6 to 8 fake seats too, taking them from Republicans and giving them to Democrats, Democrat states. You doing a math there? That's a conservative minimum of 25 congressional seats that should be in our hands. This explains everything, including why Trump won a near landslide, but that's just not reflected in Congress. It's because Congress is fake. Here's CNN talking about the implications.
What could really be the end of the Voting Rights Act? If that is gutted, Democrats could lose 19 seats. This would be a huge amount.
Insane thing number 7. Folks, the speed at which the EU is becoming China is truly shocking. 2 weeks ago, we learned that the poor folks in the UK would no longer be allowed to get a job, to rent a place to live, to rent a car, or to purchase a place to live or a car without using and obtaining a digital ID. All their information will be stored in a database. It's effectively a national ID card. Well, on Sunday, something even more horrifying happened. The EU's exit entry system went live. In order to exit or enter your country, you're going to have to submit to a face scan. They're going to permanently save a copy of your face and fingerprint you like a common criminal. That's in addition to your passport. The system will, when it's fully built out in 6 months, it's only in sporadic places right now, but it'll be fully built out in 6 months. This new system will eventually replace passports. And folks, every time you go through, you will have to hold your face so they can scan it and submit to another fingerprinting. Think about this for a minute. If you don't want this information about you to be in the database, then you can never leave your country again as of Sunday. I mean, I guess you could probably sneak out on foot, but you couldn't go through any of the, you know, typical portals of travel. You couldn't go on a ship. You couldn't go on a plane. Combine this with the mandatory rollout all across Europe of digital ID, which comes connected to a database. And folks, this is literally the Chinese system. The Chinese system is based on digital ID. They call it a key. And you have to thumb drive your digital ID key into the computer. So the computer basically syncs and recognizes you, imprints your ID, and then all your info is kept in a database so they can easily find you, trace and track everything you post online. Now, remember, what is one of the main punishments? There are many, but what is one of the main punishments for either wrongthink in China, writing or saying the wrong thing, or just failing to have a high enough social credit score in that country? What is the punishment? It's travel restrictions. Can't get on a bus, can't get on a plane, can't exit, can't move from province to province. It comes with a lot of other punishments too. You're not going to get the best jobs. Your children will not be allowed to go to the best schools. And if your family associates with you, it will lower their social credit scores too. So folks, it's really terrible. But what you're watching right now in the EU and in the UK is the infrastructure of that exact same system. And it's going up fast. Insane thing number 6. It was never science. It was always a fad. Just like I said, the percentage of college students who identify as non-binary. Yeah, we were told it was 7%, up from around 1% in 2016. Now, any leftist will tell you, well, back then there was just too much discrimination. Nobody could admit to being trans or non-binary. Turns out that was wrong. A new survey of 60,000 college kids found that the percentage of those identifying as non-binary has plunged over just 2 years, something that is impossible for it to happen if it wasn't a fad that's quickly going out of style. So at the peak of it, around 2022 and 2023, a full 7% of young adults in college identified as non-binary. Now it's down to half that in just 2 years, 3.6%. I did a podcast on that earlier this week. I'm convinced that that's because any opposition to that was censored when the FBI controlled most of social media, and because Elon Musk purchased X, and you know that then allowed debate of this and the actual societal cultural around it, which rejects it, to rise to its natural spot, dominance. That's pretty remarkable when you consider that the Democrat Party has built a lot of its social policy around this fad. Will the Democrat Party eventually abandon this or cling to it like a sailor to a ship going down?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Insane thing number five. You're going to have to forgive me all, but I just don't get the hoopla over this supposed peace deal. It's not a peace deal. Folks, I've built a whole living covering what the mainstream media blacks out. They lie through omission. I've never seen our side do it on any issue as badly as they have in this one. I think nobody wants to tell you the truth about it because they all want the hits, the clicks, the likes, and they don't want the thumbs down. But I'm here to tell you, this was the fakest story I think I've ever seen. Literally all that happened here was that Hamas asked Joe Biden, his regime, a little over a year ago, hey, listen, here's our deal. We want 2,000 terrorists released from Israeli prisons, including 250 serving life sentences for killing people, in some cases dozens of people, in terror attacks. We want them released. And if they're released, we'll give you back your hostages, but nothing else. Joe Biden didn't dare take that deal. He would have been absolutely harangued for it by people like me. And we would have run the pictures, the video from this week of those released terrorists rolling into Gaza on buses greeted like conquering heroes. It was absolutely sickening, especially since some of them did October 7th. I've never been so horrified. This idea that Trump's some sort of genius deal maker? No, he just took the offer that Hamas made to Joe Biden. Now, Joe Biden wanted to do it a different way. He wanted to cut a deal where Israel can't go into Gaza anymore. Trump pulled them back a little. But the outlines of the deal were always the 20 hostages for the 2,000 terrorists. A terrible deal, but not hard to get if you're willing to give Hamas exactly. And by the way, calling it a peace deal was bizarre. There's no deal. You know that, right? The only thing that was agreed to was by Hamas, Israel, and Trump. They give us the hostages. They get the terrorists back. So basically, they got 100 terrorists for every hostage. Hamas did not agree to disarm. Hamas did not agree to any of the other terms beyond the exchange. Well, wait a minute. Didn't Trump fly to Egypt and sign a peace deal? No. He did fly to Egypt, but what they signed isn't the peace deal that everybody's been reading about, the 2 through 20 points. No, what they signed was an aspirational statement that they'd all work together to achieve peace in the Middle East, blah, 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 blah. Basically, totally meaningless. Almost immediately after, a war of words broke out where Hamas was saying they never agreed to disarm, and they didn't. Not publicly, they've never signed anything. President Trump claims behind the scenes, and what's weird is he says he spoke to Hamas. So, I mean, the way he says it sounds like he means personally, and they agreed to disarm. Maybe, but they've said the opposite in public, and they've never signed anything. Folks, there is no peace deal. Now, once you understand that, can you understand why all of these Islamic dictators are praising Donald Trump? I mean, when Islamic dictators like Erdogan, the president of Turkey, praise you, I mean, that guy is a strong-armed jihadist Islamic dictator. He's not just some, you know, cushy guy. When the head of Pakistan praises you and says you should have the peace prize, yes, he wants to give it to you because you freed 2,000 terrorists. If Biden did this, I'd have lost my mind. And if I pretended like everybody else did this week, well, I just couldn't do it. So why would Trump do such a destructive thing? It has people who actually understand what's going on here almost completely baffled, because Trump did another thing that was strange about a month ago. Hamas is a designated terror group of the United States of America, which should have been a problem for Qatar, given that they were hiding, giving sanctuary to their leadership and a large contingent of Hamas fighters. Well, Israel figured that out, flew in and killed them with bombs, or at least most of them. That was until Trump told him to stop and made him apologize to Qatar. Israel wasn't allowed to finish the job, and the leadership, what little remains anyway of Hamas, went free. Again, those actions are what these Islamic dictators are praising. They want Trump to get the peace prize because they perceive it as him saving Hamas from the dustbin of history, calling off Israel just in time and replenishing the ranks of Hamas, pressuring Israel to release some of their most talented, brutal, and deadly fighters and leaders. Why would Trump do this? This is truly what happened this week. So, I mean, just the absolute fawning over Trump. It drove the Democrats crazy. It especially drove Antony Blinken crazy, because I know what he and Biden were thinking, and they're not wrong. We could have taken that deal. We just didn't dare to because, you know, it was heading into the election and they didn't want to see MAGA screaming bloody murder. You just let out 2,000 terrorists. You're a, you know, terrorist sympathizer. And we'd have played the audio and the videos over and over and over again of those buses loaded with Hamas terrorists, literal terrorists with blood on their hands from terror attacks, rolling into Gaza triumphant on those buses. It could have swung the election. That's how devastating it was. It drove them insane to watch Trump get away with it. What was he doing? There are two competing theories. Qatar is one of the main funders of Hamas, besides Iran. And Qatar and Trump are getting very tight. Qatar and Trump Inc., not Trump personally, his kids are running it now, have cut a $6.5 billion golf course deal. They signed that just a few months ago. And before that, Qatar gave Trump a plane, Okay, technically the U.S. government will possess the plane, and then eventually it'll transfer to his presidential library, but he'll have use of it for life. Pretty nice gift, if you can get it. That's what some folks who actually watched the real news here go down thought might be going on, that Trump was accommodating Qatar. Maybe. Maybe. The only other thing I've heard this week that makes any kind of potential sense is what listener Andy sent to me. Here's what he wrote. "Dare, I've been observing and marveling at the genius and ingenuity of the Israelis since 1967. Their armed forces faced incredible odds in 1967 and 1973 with four neighboring Arab countries attacking them, and they found a way to soundly defeat their larger enemies using a combined grit, technology, and genius with probably some help from God," he writes. "They took our U.S.-made weapons, like our fighter jets and tanks, and made them even more lethal and efficient. Therefore, my first thoughts were not of Trump's golf course and hotel when so many bad guys were exchanged, but rather that I bet some Israeli Mossad scientist had devised a way to place microscopic tracking devices in the Hamas prisoners' food so that they," the Mossad, you know, Bibi, the Israelis, "will know exactly where they are. And as the added clever Israeli Mossad icing on the top, where all of their Hamas bad guy friends are, too, who the Israelis have yet to capture or kill. This will help locate them." Okay, this sounds a little kooky, Andy, but it makes more sense than the idea of Trump selling out for the golf course, although $6.5 billion is a lot of money, and Trump is really broke, thanks to Big Tish James. At least cash flow wise, he's broke. He's not broke property wise. But she, you know, that big judgment against him that took the rest of his cash, he had about $500 million in New York. Yeah, that still stands and may stand forever. It's frozen right now. So, yeah, I mean, the idea of Trump betraying us, this is more like something Joe Biden would do. But, you know, $6.5 billion in a plane is a lot on the table. But at the same time, well, the microscopic tracking device theory, Andy, sounds, well, I hope that's what's going on here. Because whatever the case, and Trump knows this, he took a massive risk letting these people out. Again, if only a handful of them make it to Canada, which has a very liberal visa policy. They recognize Palestine as a state. They don't see Hamas as terrorists, and they hand them visas. They could well sashay right into the USA. This week, when Hamas started slaughtering people in Gaza, 52 at this point as I'm recording this podcast, when Hamas started slaughtering people in Gaza, Trump quickly promised that they would be disarmed violently if necessary. Let's hope that's what happens. And I was glad when Trump said that, because I was wondering, is, you know, Trump going to keep holding back Israel? I mean, Israel's in a really precarious position. We're the last real remaining ally that they have. And we're also a key supplier of the weapons that they need to defeat Hamas. So we can call off attacks by Israel if we really want to. And I was afraid Trump would call it off again and let Hamas regrow the way that, you know, he let the Hamas leadership off the hook in Qatar and protected them. So I was really glad to see him threaten Hamas to actually articulate, okay, hey, yeah, we are going to come for you violently if you don't disarm, which, folks, they're not gonna. We're gonna have to hunt them. I really hope this doesn't end up involving U.S. troops, and I really hope no troops get killed doing this. I hope, you know, maybe we can get them in a satellite strike or something like that if this is the plan. But I gotta tell you, folks, this is really, really risky. Even with tracking devices, keeping track of 2,000 people this dangerous is dicey. But maybe there's a plan, and maybe it'll turn out really cool. Insane thing number four. The entire nation watched in horror as three drivers were decapitated because an illegal immigrant from India who couldn't speak English and hadn't bothered to learn to read road signs decided to just make a big U-turn illegally on a Florida highway in a semi, cutting right across the oncoming lane of traffic, which again beheaded three people. What was so remarkable about this case, folks, I've covered so much brutality by illegals. I mean, a 12-year-old raped and beaten to death by illegal immigrants. And Americans were moderately moved, but nothing special. That was Jocelyn Nungri. I've covered another case, Rachel Morin. Her head was literally beaten in, smashed to a pulp. You should hear the testimony from the trial by an illegal immigrant who simply wanted to rape her and was mad she wouldn't cooperate. Again, there was no video. The American people really weren't that moved. But this, for some reason, this struck a chord. It's one of the few stories where I could say, honestly, I've never seen anything trend like it on Topic Pulse, coming back again and again and again in the top 10. I think the reason is because there's video. There's video of him in the cab watching this car run into his truck. That's the moment of the beheading. And he just looks like, oh, maybe I should change the channel. I mean, like, it's nothing. And then there's separate video of him outside of the truck, and the first responders are there, and there's no tears, there's no freak out. He doesn't seem to give a damn. And I mean, the accident scene, oh my gosh, it was so bad. And then there was interviews after with the first responders who were shocked by his lack of humanity, his lack of sympathy. He just didn't seem to think it was a big deal. That makes people furious. It makes it real for them. Well, the commercial driver's license he had was traced back to the state of California. And they've, of course, refused to do anything about this, even though issuing it to him violates federal law. Again, federal officials tested him. He couldn't read road signs, folks. He could barely speak English. And he couldn't pass the CDL driver's test either. So it's a mystery how he got it. California doubling down. Not going to change a thing. Love mayhem on the highway. Which led to this.
Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says the White House will withhold $40 million in federal funds from California for not enforcing English language requirements for commercial truck drivers.
It's a longstanding rule that hadn't been enforced by prior administrations, but to drive an 18-wheeler, a semi, a school bus, you have to speak English and you have to understand English. Gavin Newsom supports illegals over his own highway patrol to keep the road safe. And so because they haven't complied, we'll use the tools that we have to make sure we make California pay attention to basic safety regulations, which is English language, behind the truck, behind the big wheels of these big rigs.
Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says that California is the only state not enforcing these English language requirements.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Insane thing number three. It's got to be Illinois Governor Democrat J.B. Pritzker promising to arrest ICE agents for what they've done. What specifically was he referring to? Naturally, the mainstream media didn't say. This happened on Tuesday. When you hear the backstory, it's going to stand your hair on end. Because I got to tell you what, if you served in Iraq, I bet you if you're an ICE agent, Chicago feels like that right now. So ICE agents driving along, minding their business in traffic when they get rammed. And I'm talking hardcore rammed by a truck driven by illegal immigrants. Two of them from Venezuela. Well, the illegals take off running. ICE agents take off after them. They apprehend them. We got to understand what Chicago's like now. What the cartels and gangs have done is stationed lookouts armed on top of a lot of buildings throughout these neighborhoods where they watch constantly for ICE. Well, those agents who were rammed and then managed to apprehend their attackers, they soon found themselves very quickly surrounded by a violent mob, throwing rocks, bricks, projectiles, bottles that they station all over town. These violent mobs are popping up quickly now through the combo, again, of rooftop observers and, you know, pre-staged, pre-posted violent tools of violence, basically things they throw. The agents quickly found themselves surrounded. And the imagery, the video of this online on Fox News is terrifying once you understand what you're looking at. You could really see those illegals probably rammed ICE in order to get a response from them so they could then surround them. So what did ICE do? They responded with non-lethal means, tear gas. Anything to avoid giving the left and the cartels the visual they really want. ICE agents opening fire on poor innocent illegals. On Democrat protesters, who are essentially trying to stone them to death. That was exactly the reaction the Democrats were looking for. Because earlier in the week, they'd gone to the courts and gotten an order from a liberal judge that ICE was to cease and desist from using tear gas. So J.B. Pritzker, the Democrat governor, and the mayor immediately turn around and scream that ICE has violated the court order and they might even arrest them. Again, for using non-lethal means to repel illegal immigrant and Democrat attackers. That's what led to this from Democrat Governor J.B. Pritzker.
The tables will turn someday. These people should recognize that maybe they're not going to get prosecuted today, although we're looking at doing that, but they may get prosecuted after the Trump administration for the things that they did because the statute of limitations won't have run. We're just talking to the state's attorneys and to the attorney general of the state of Illinois about how they can go at this.
Again, this immediately followed, and he was addressing these agents defending themselves from the street mob, which led us to this horror show by Barack Obama, where, folks, the Democrats are beginning to assert that violence while protesting is actually part of what they call their democracy, their free speech rights. And that's normal. It's always happened. Listen to Obama laying that out. And he's talking about Chicago on this podcast because this incident had just happened.
When you now start seeing the politicization of the military, deliberately.
We just landed in Chicago.
Yeah. When you see an administration suggest that ordinary street crime is an insurrection or
a terrorist act.
Or a terrorist act, that is a genuine effort to weaken how we have understood democracy.
Okay, but what does a little bit of street crime include? Things we've never seen before in America, like this.
Breaking right now, as we just mentioned, narco terrorists in Mexico are reportedly working in coordination with domestic extremist groups to place bounties worth thousands of dollars on the heads of federal immigration officers in Chicago. That is according to DHS, who are now slamming what they are calling an organized campaign of terror against agents just trying to do their jobs. Tricia McLaughlin from DHS will join us with more on all of that.
It's incredibly disturbing, Sandra. Homeland Security investigations, the FBI, our interagency intelligence partners are really all over this. What we're seeing, as you mentioned, is this tiered system, this coordinated and highly organized waging of war against our law enforcement and a terror campaign against them. We're seeing that they're offering $2,000 for intelligence about our ICE law enforcement agents surrounding, including their family, to dox them, $5,000 to kidnap an ICE law enforcement agent, and then even more money to kill them. And we've talked a lot about on this program and on other programs on this network about these ICE apps to locate ICE and CBP agents. And it's not just obstruction of justice that we've been seeing with that. We're also seeing this. They're now handing intelligence over to these cartels, these criminal rings, to go after our law enforcement, harass them, dox them, kidnap them, and God forbid, kill them, Sandra. It's very disturbing.
Yeah, just a little bit of Democrat street crime. Nothing to see here. Totally normal. Meanwhile, the left's bloodlust is growing. And folks, every week now, on this podcast, somebody does another poll and I bring it to you. And the numbers are going up and up and up. The latest to do it is the polling firm Signal. And they did a poll finding 42% of self-identified liberals now think it's okay to break the law if you disagree with someone politically. That's 42%. But here's where it gets shocking and problematic. The percentage is 60%. Percent of liberals under the age of 30. Yeah, you know, if you have differences with somebody, you know, breaking the law is okay. No, they don't mean for us, understand. They mean for them. But here's the problem, folks. What are the differences? They were specifically asking them about ICE. And folks, immigration law is law. It was passed democratically by Congress. So folks, they say they want their democracy. No, they don't. This is them protesting violently laws that have been on the books for decades and in some cases, centuries. Lee, who sometimes co-hosts the show with me, said to me about a week ago, what even is the purpose of the United Nations? What do they do? Sit around waiting for one world government so they can rule it. Making sure along the way not to offend any of the dictators they'll be working with to extend that iron fist throughout the world. And this week, if Donald Trump wasn't elected, and folks, this is one of these great opportunities to just sit back and imagine where we'd be if Kamala Harris were the president. This week was the week the funding mechanism for world government was supposed to go in place. They'd worked on this for a couple of years under the Biden regime, and the Biden regime was fully on board the new global climate tax. It would have been the ultimate in taxation without representation, straight from the United Nations. And they had lined up all the right European countries. The Biden administration supported it. As the Wall Street Journal points out this week, the UN was going to implement it through something called the International Maritime Organization. It's a UN body based in London. The tax was supposed to be on carbon emissions. And this week, they were supposed to secure final approval. They've already had a couple votes on this for the net zero framework for shipping, right? This is a tax on all goods that move across seas in shipping containers. And the measure would have imposed charges per metric ton of carbon dioxide that supposedly, you know, is emitted above certain limits. The tax would have raised between $10 and $12 billion a year. The Wall Street Journal writes this. If you've heard about this at all, it's probably because the Trump administration last week threatened to slap sanctions, i.e. tariffs, on any country that votes in favor of imposing this tax in the final round. Washington rightly worries it will increase the cost of goods American households buy by increasing global shipping costs by as much as, get this, 10%. It's truly taxation without representation. And the Democrats were fully on board. Just a reminder of the world we'd live in without Donald Trump. And to remind you, never to forget, a lot of Republicans would have let this go forward. Nikki Haley was a big climate change supporter, probably because all her money came from the Bush wing of the party. George W. Bush was a climate change believer as well. This is a new breed of Republican that stamps this kind of thing out in Donald Trump. So, thank God, we're not talking about this week. And finally, insane thing number one. The John Bolton indictment, y'all. 18 counts illegally hoarding or sending national security information. And folks, when both legal analysts on CNN assure you that, wow, okay, this is serious, he's in trouble, you know, this is a big deal. Everybody thought this would be some stretch relating to his book and the tiff that he and Trump have had over him publishing it. It's a book that criticized Trump. And they said, well, there's, you know, some top secret information in here he shouldn't have used. No. This is way beyond that. Here's CNN. Former Biden DOJ official Yokitil Jinzano. I think that's how she says her name. I can't even pronounce it. Biden appoints these very strangely named foreign people. But anyway, here we go.
I had a clearance. And whenever you go through the training to have a security clearance, you are always told about the handling of classified information and exactly how you must handle it and how you cannot take it home. And I'll point out, you were reading his statement earlier today. They talk about how these are handwritten notes. Handwritten notes doesn't necessarily mean it's no longer classified. It just means that the classified information is somewhere else, just like whether it's on a signal chat or whether it's in your notes. It needs to stay in a SCIF. And so this is the worst case scenario for the intelligence community. The intelligence community often fears of leaks. They often fear of spills. There are spills with a number of various former government officials where it was a mistake, et cetera. They had classified information. They didn't know that they had it, et cetera. But this is something a little bit different. This is what got into the hands of the wrong people. And he knew that he had the classified information and he knew that there was a leak and he did not notify the federal government. And so it is, These are very serious allegations.
Okay, two things going on here. First, you got to understand this country is an oligarchy. And the deep state, those are the oligarchs. And oligarchs are royalty who are criminals. They build empires that are so big, so powerful, so criminal, and they rule as royalty. John Bolton is very much a part of that deep state oligarchic uniparty class who simply, it is inconceivable that one of them could ever be successfully charged or prosecuted for mishandling classified information. Okay, thing number two, the currency of the deep state. This is the heart of what this indictment aims at. The currency of the deep state, half of its power comes from the misuse and abuse of classified data. The hallmark of a deep stater, the hallmark of the uniparty, is the ability to steal classified data, to sell classified data, but most importantly, to use classified data against the right. That is why I literally have a file in here. There's 18 separate articles where they've been caught spying on us and cataloging the data. Okay, you're John Bolton, right? And you read the New York Times, Washington Post every day. Almost every week, there's classified data in there that has leaked. We could easily figure out who did it, but we never do, ever. In fact, the Russia collusion hoax was based entirely off leaks of classified data. You look at James Comey right now, former head of the FBI. And what is he dealing with? Well, Andrew McCabe, his deputy, has testified under oath. Yeah, James Comey told me just go ahead and leak it. Leak the classified data, gave me permission. Well, that's a felony. James Comey denies that. They're going to turn McCabe on Comey. What this indictment of John Bolton is aimed at is breaking the back of the deep state currency of classified data. Because at this point, if you're in deep state, if you're in intelligence agencies, you've watched, you see this data every other day. You see your bosses weaponize it, dropping it into some form of media. You've never, since 2015, 2016, ever seen an indictment. As I wrote in a post on X, this is about so much more than John Bolton. It's about whether members of the uniparty will be allowed to steal and selectively leak classified data, which is a felony, for profit and as a weapon against the right. So let me give you an example. If you want to tar Trump's victory against Iran hitting those nuclear facilities, well, selectively leak minority analyst opinion that one of the strikes might have been ineffective. Again, don't leak the part of the minority opinion that says, hey, we don't even think this You know, intel is accurate. We just heard it in a phone call. So, you know, we're using it. Not only that. And so you commit the felony of leaking in order to embarrass Trump. Well, if you do that, you're not getting prosecuted. That has been the tradition in Washington. Want to defeat Republican Kevin McCarthy's bid for Speaker of the House? Spy on him and leak the affair he had. Department of Homeland Security did it. His campaign got torpedoed. And the person who leaked it, totally protect it, because that's the Washington way. Let's keep going. Joe Biden stole so much classified data, it was stored on pallets in the Penn Biden Center. Classified data going back to the 1970s. Folks, he was so brazen, he was writing down the classified stuff that he learned at the White House in notebooks and walking out with it. And they would have to ask him, okay, Joe, you got to bring it back. Sometimes he would, a lot of times he wouldn't. I mean, they're just, the Bidens are just posting pictures of their cars, and you can see the boxes of classified data just sitting there unsecured in the garage. Do they go to prison? No. The DOJ finds the classified data, massive amounts of classified data. What do they say about Joe Biden? Well, he's just such a nice old man. I mean, no jury would ever convict him. But Donald Trump, nobody likes, so we'll go after him. Let's keep going. Hunter Biden was allowed to clean out a storage shed full of classified data before an IRS FBI raid. We know this from the whistleblowers. They were enraged. He was given a heads up in time to move it. Hillary walked off with a thumb drive full of classified data, as we've learned only the last few months. Then the FBI classified that she stole it so no one could speak of her crimes without themselves going to prison. See, this is an entire system. It's the source of their power. James Comey sent honeypots when he was director of the FBI into the Trump campaign in 2015 and 16 to try to trick him and others into sleeping with them so he could leak the intel. The Obama regime spied on Democrat Dennis Kucinich. He was a Democrat congressman in punishment for opposing Obama's agenda, then leaked his conversations to embarrass him, another felony. But of course, no one ever goes to prison. Classify fake intel. And this is one of their favorite moves. Classify fake intel, like this idea that Trump traveled to Russia and paid his prostitutes to urinate on a bed that Obama and Michelle Obama had slept in. Not true, but you sanctify it. You make it true, even though you know it came from Hillary's campaign, by classifying it. That gives it the imprimatur of truth. And you leak it to tar Trump. Now keep in mind, after all of that classified data, a lot of it untrue, was leaked, 50% of voters in 2020 went to the polls telling pollsters that Trump was under the control of Russia, or is at least an asset. It really damaged him. So, folks, this is how they traffic in, profit from, and use classified data. So Bolton, you know, I mean, Bolton is reeling in shock right now, as is CNN, that there's actually meat to this indictment. Because the rules up until this moment have always been, as long as it's used against Trump or the right, you can leak whatever you want, profit a little bit on the side. I mean, folks, Hunter Biden had hired a Chinese operative. They were storing a lot of Joe Biden's classified data all over Chinatown and various offices until they consolidated it in the Penn Biden Center, which was built for the Bidens with $60 million in Chinese money at the University of Pennsylvania. This is how casual they were about it. Think about Trump, meanwhile, where they twisted, used a new legal theory that if the president doesn't write down, hey, I give myself permission to declassify this data, then it's always classified, right? So when Trump refused to pick up the boxes, he was just busy, didn't pick up the boxes of classified data they were going to frame him with, they mailed them to him, and then they showed up a few weeks later at Mar-a-Lago after warning him to secure the data and raided the place. And the outrage of that, as I explained at the time, was that both George W. Bush and Barack Obama had taken home treasure troves of classified data. They were requested to turn it over just like Trump was, never bothered. In fact, Barack Obama said, "Nah, I'm gonna digitize it. I'll get it to you later." He never did. They didn't raid his home. See, that's how this has worked until now. It's bigger than just getting rid of these corrupt operatives. We have to shatter the idea that certain people can traffic in classified data. This indictment does that. And former federal prosecutor Brett Tolman said, look, if there's anybody who knows where the bodies are buried, once again, it's John Bolton. They're going to try to flip him.
Remember, though, I'm very mindful of the fact that Bolton has a lot of knowledge and a lot of insight. There's maybe an effort to also get his attention and get him talking about other things that he may have information about. This is just the beginning, the tip of the iceberg. I think it's a difficult case to defend against. He, of all people, should know. Doesn't matter if it's old or new materials. If it's classified and you possessed it, then it could be a crime.
Terra Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.